Our Father, we thank you that you gather us from so many parts of the world, every tribe and nation. And Lord, that you call us to pray and you give us a desire to pray. And we pray, Lord, that this devotional would be clear and helpful, that you would unite our hearts together, and that Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but as we live our Christian life, there are many, many commands that we need to remember, to hold them in mind as we navigate each day in the Lord's will. And it's hard. There are so many. Some scholars estimate 600 commands in the New Testament alone. We think of the Old Testament commands, and that seems a bit more distant, perhaps, but even in the New Testament, there's many we need to remember. So as we pray, we want to indeed remember and apply them and obey them so that our prayers will not be hindered. And things like be ye holy and love not the world and flee from idolatry and make no provision for the flesh and walk in love and honor one another and serve one another and deny yourself and abide in Christ and esteem others' interests better than your own. And the fact is, it all becomes kind of a blur at a certain point and hard to remember, especially under pressure when we're dealing with life situations. So we need help. And it seems that there is one command that's not easy to forget, and it's also not easy to make excuses for if we think we're sort of okay, even though not perfect. And that command is found in Ephesians 5:18, a familiar verse, I think, to all of us. But let us read it here and seek to understand it better. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, brethren, this often is commented on as a matter of control. Do not be controlled by drinking excessively of alcohol, but be controlled by the Spirit. And I think that's helpful, and yet, even then, it's still abstract and hard to get our arms around. What does it mean to be controlled by the Spirit or filled by the Spirit? And so we're not left by ourselves. The Lord has instructed us even further in verse 19, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So what we have here is kind of a cause and effect. The cause is to be filled with the Spirit. The effect is to sing in our hearts psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so now, that's a description of maybe a mark of being filled with the Spirit. It doesn't tell us what it is, but it does point to further help in the Scriptures. We can use what theologians call the analogy of faith, and that's the principle where we use more clear Scriptures to interpret those that may seem more difficult. And so we find a sort of a parallel passage in Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. And let me just read it to us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so I trust you notice here the parallel. In both passages, we have psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is an effect of our hearts coming to the Lord with joy. But what is the cause? Well, in Ephesians 5, we saw the cause was to be filled with the Spirit. Here in Colossians 3, the cause is, the first part of that verse, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And brethren, here's where we get our help. If the effect is the same, we can understand the cause to be the same. And here we see that to be filled with the Spirit is equivalent spiritually to letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And there we find help, because letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly is immensely practical. You know, we're instructed to read the scriptures and study the word and meditate on the word and memorize the word. And in fact, the word is our life. We're told that Christ is the Logos and the living word. The incarnate word has given us the inscripturated word. And so, brethren, we come to this simple fact that the word of God is essential to our walk with Christ and used by the Spirit, even to manifest in the filling of the Spirit. And so let us realize, when we're fearful in life, the word of God gives us help. 2 Timothy 1:7, for example. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If we're feeling worried and anxious, we have Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Or another translation, be not anxious. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And if we're feeling angry or irritated or frustrated, Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So in all of life's situations, the word of God gives us real practical help. And as we do, as we appropriate that help and apply it in our lives, we are being filled with the Spirit. Brethren, in that way, we come to the place where our joy may be full. And after all, that's what the Lord has for us in this abundant life. So when we pray, we need not to check off a list of 600 commands to see if we're keeping them at the moment, so our prayers will not be hindered. But we can simply ask ourselves, am I filled with the Spirit? It's hard to wiggle out of that. We know when we're not filled with the Spirit. And so, brethren, if we're filled with the Spirit, then we know that also the Word of God is dwelling in us richly. So let us apply this as we pray, as we seek the Lord and walk with Him. And if I may, let me conclude here with prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you have given us your Spirit. We thank you you've given us your church, and you've given us your word. And Lord, these three equip us for a victorious Christian life. We pray that you'd use your word and your Spirit now to help us in our prayers, that they might be pleasing in thy sight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.